Today's the wonderful feast day of the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel to Mary. There's a couple of wonderful thoughts that go with that. First, that today is the foundation for all the other feasts of the world. Today is the foundation from which, without the Annunciation happening in Our Lady, saying yes to the angel, then there would be no Nativity, there would be no Good Friday, there would be no Easter, there would be no Pentecost, there would have been no foundation of the Church as a whole. All the other saints' feast days would not have come to have been had Our Lady not accepted that weighty responsibility of being the Mother Christ. Yet she did. She didn't hesitate to that. And she accepted it gracefully. Another thought to go along with it is the aspect of the need for Mary to say yes to the angel. God wasn't going to force the Messiah upon her. God didn't force sin to come into the world. In fact, it came into the world because of the free will of man going against what God wanted him to do. It came into the world because we chose to turn away from him. We're the ones that closed the gates to heaven. We're the ones that cut off ourselves from grace. We're the ones that caused there to be even a need for redemption first. And because of the fact that it was all through man's choice to close off all of those pathways to God, to cut ourselves off from paradise, the gift of salvation was truly something that was going to come to us, not because we deserved it, but because God wanted it for us out of his mercy, because he longed for us to be in heaven. Yet he wasn't going to force it upon us. We chose to get ourselves into the predicament that we were in of sin. And it was only through the choice of man that we would be able to get ourselves out of that predicament. That we could actually, by accepting the coming of the Messiah, that we would even get that chance at redemption. Yet God wants it so much that he gives us Our Lady as the chosen one to bear the Messiah. Because in that, he chooses the most perfect of people. He chooses the one who is from all time destined to be sinless in order to be the Mother of God. And he chooses her because he knows that her will is so directly united to the will of God. And so, in that, God knows that she is going to say yes. He gives every possibility, gives us the greatest possibility of the Messiah being able to come, because there was no more of a perfect human being than Our Lady herself. And so, in that, he knows that her choice will be yes. But think about that moment. Think about the moment today when the Archangel Gabriel descends upon earth and visits Our Lady there. And he brings her that message of her being the chosen one to bear the Messiah. And God himself, who knows all things from all eternity, he knows the choice that she's going to make. Yet everybody else, all the other angels of heaven, are watching the same event, and they're watching it almost with, angels don't breathe, but in a sense, with bated breath, they're waiting to hear, what is she going to say? Is she going to accept that responsibility? Is she going to go along and allow the redemption of mankind to come through her? And so the angel Gabriel announces it, and he, along with all the other angels, they're watching this one point on earth and one point in time, waiting for one little girl to make her answer back to this holy angel. And of course, she chooses to accept it in great rejoicing among the angels of heaven. Happen. Also, the fallen angels know that this is the means of their own destruction. And they too wait with bated breath, but not for the same purpose of seeing that that joyful redemption of mankind, but in terror, knowing that ultimately, in the end, this is to be the vessel of the destruction of their own empire here on earth. Lastly, we think about why Mary was chosen. And this is, there are so many people throughout the time of Adam and Eve, all the way through the time of Our Lady, that could have been chosen to be the mother of Christ, the mother of the Redeemer. Yet God chose the Blessed Virgin Mary specifically. He chose her because she was the one that fit that purpose perfectly. She was the only one with the most pure of intentions. It could have gone either way, because some of the ladies waited. So many of the Jewish women wanted to be the mother of the Redeemer. But their intentions were not pure. Their intentions were for their own glory, their own specific aims and ends. They wanted themselves to be praised. They wanted themselves to be looked at as higher than the other people. They wanted themselves to be set aside as special, to gain the honors and the glories that should come with that position of being the mother of God, of the redemption of mankind. And so there were so many women that were praying for themselves to be chosen, and so many mothers praying that their daughters be the chosen one, but for a bad purpose. They were praying for their own glory. They were praying for their own exaltation, or raising themselves up in status, or in how they were viewed in the eyes of the people around them in the world. And then there was a whole other faction of women that would have not wanted anything to do with the responsibility that came with being the mother of Christ. They wouldn't want to be the ones responsible for guarding after the God child. They wouldn't want to be the ones to have to suffer so much and to willingly give up their only begotten son for the sake of his need to die for the sins of mankind. They wouldn't want to embrace the hardships and the sorrows that came with Our Lady's mothership of the Christ child. And they wouldn't want for themselves to give up their own way of life, you know, that total dedication to the one true God. They had their own distractions, they had their own wants and needs in life, and they wouldn't want to have it all revolve around this one instance in time. No, there was only one person in the time of Adam and Eve, all the way up to today, the incarnation of our Lord in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There's only one person that had that pure intention, that pure balance. Excuse me. That was Our Lady. She wanted no glory for herself. She had no alternative motives. She was not seeking out to become the mother of God. Yet at the same time, when that lot fell upon her, she embraced it with all the hardships that she knew that would come with that. Why? Because every ounce of her, every bit of her, was completely joined to the will of God. That was her sole focus in her entire life. Do the will of God, that her will and God's will be so united as it would be as if they were one will alone. And because of that, being that purest of intentions, she was chosen from all eternity to be the mother of Christ. And so with that, we learn for ourselves that, you know, we're never going to be as perfect as Our Lady is. But we see the things that we, in our own focus, have to constantly work at in our life. we have to always be looking and checking ourselves as against Our Lady as that measuring stick of the perfect human. On the one hand, we have to look and check to make sure that we are doing the things that we have to do in order to be united perfectly with God's will, to try to always do the things that God wants us to do, not what we ourselves want us to do. And to do the things that are in line with the most, especially with the virtue of charity, for the love of God first and foremost, and then for the love of neighbor as ourselves. But in doing so, if there happens to be things that we do that may merit some sort of temporal reward, some sort of recognition from those around us, that we don't do it for those purposes, we don't expect those returns, and that we don't even long after them, because so long as we're doing what God wants us to do, it makes no difference whether somebody else recognizes it. We search not after our own glory, but only the glory of God. And if our focus in our life is in doing God's will and shrinking to the background ourselves, then we imitate Our Lady. We do all the things that we need to do to be one step closer to heaven. We do what Saint John the Baptist said, and what he longed for in having come in across the Christ man. And he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." That's always in our life and always in our focus. What can we do for God's greater glory and for shrinking away from the glorification of our own selves? Always working to do God's will in every little aspect that we have. And it's through that we merit from the great graces that began to come down upon the earth today in the Word incarnate, the great prayer of the Angelus, that, you know, God became man today in the Feast of the Annunciation. And God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.